Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Today on Red Dead Radio, we're live!
We're going straight to the world guest. We're going straight to the world guest. Yeah!
Yeah, this was definitely a mistake. Thank you. You could have been doing absolutely anything else.
Like sleeping. Yeah.
Like sleeping.
Eating. Yeah.
Eating.
What more sleeping.
I mean, drinking, but it's 11 a.m., so.
You
it's never
do
stopped
that.
You
that's
before.
No, mimosas exist.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, yeah, brunch drinks? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But I do want to thank y'all for being here, for giving up your morning and showing up. Before we do anything else, I want to get a shout out to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, who's in the room.
Right.
Tom
yeah.
Bach.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Stuart Ferguson and Jonathan, whose generous support keeps us going. Thanks to everybody who supports
like
this
here.
Insanity on Patreon. You never know. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Red Dead Radio Live. I'm your host, Jared Petty, alongside to my right, your left.
Hi, I'm John Ryan. I'm usually here.
I'm Brittany Brombacher. And I'm Christine Steimer. Woo. Hello.
So John Ryan from IGN, Brittany and Steimer, two-thirds of What's Good Games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So does that make you What's Good, Good Games, or What's Games? Because you're two-thirds of it.
We'll just be What's Good.
I am far too hungover for this year.
Okay.
I can put on a red wig, it's fine.
You would look exactly like her. It's
yeah, of course.
One way or the other. So thank you for giving up your morning to be here. So we're here to talk about Red Dead Redemption, Red Dead Redemption 2. Who wants to play that? Anybody?
Yes.
Just
well, despite what you may have heard, no, it's not here this morning. No, you're just stuck with us talking for a
Who's
while.
Spreading those lies.
Well, I don't know. Some people were convinced yesterday at the Superman panel that I was going to have a Rocksteady debut trailer at the end.
What?
Wait, what?
That'd be rad.
Because that's how Rocksteady wants to show their game off at the end of one of my panels.
Hey, maybe they do. Dream big.
Dream right? big? I mean, I it's a big old room. People came to it. Ladies and gentlemen, video games do not happen in a vacuum. What we're going to talk about today are the influences that come together to create a massive video game like Red Dead Redemption and its upcoming sequel. So we're talking about the fact that all games do draw from both mechanical and thematic influences. When I talk about mechanical, people look at other games and go, how did they do that well? How could we do that better? Do you have a favorite mechanic in games, Christine? Something you really love?
No.
She doesn't like a lot.
I don't know. That was very aggressive.
It was. Get ready for aggression. What about you, Brittany?
I think I like dialogue in games. The mechanic of being able to make decisions.
Branching dialogue.
Branching dialogue, yeah.
A feature of upcoming Red Dead Redemption.
There you go.
Like.
You like how I did that? That's a good little segue.
What about you, John? What do you love?
I really like to double jump.
You like
to
double
jump? It's a super simple thing, but if you can double jump well, and it's satisfying, it's like the best feeling. And there are so many games that you can't do that in.
No, what's the worst is when you can't jump at all.
Well, yeah. It's just like there's
you're
a,
just
like
grounded,
a thigh-high
like,
rock, and you just thump.
With the exception of Bionic
just
Commando.
Just lift your leg.
Yeah,
just lift your leg. Pee on it, it's fine.
Please, I'm begging you.
Yeah, Captain Toad can't jump, Mega Man can't duck. Some things are strange.
Well,
that
Toad
way.
Has no legs. He's okay. Just got a torso and feet.
Here's a question. So Link can't jump either, for the most part, in all the other games. But when he walks up to something, he can and jump that way. Now, would you consider that the ability to jump or only be able to jump when it's convenient?
I think that that's only choosing to jump when it's convenient. I think Link's just being mean to make us
so
angry.
He's not actually capable of jumping. It's just something. It's like
he's
an instinct.
Capable of sort of jump climbing, but not.
Yeah, he can mantle, but he cannot jump.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
passive aggression on Link's part.
There.
I really think that's what it's all about.
He's so
like,
angry.
You took my feather away from that one game. I'm never jumping again.
Yeah.
That's. Exactly, just sick of saving each other. But also thematic influences, and that's the other end of it. And Maybe no studio in our entire industry does more with thematic influences than Rockstar, particularly cinematic influences. What's GTA 5, really? It's a mob movie set in an open world. We fair with that?
It's just a bunch of heat.
Whole lot of heat.
It's heat, 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 and heat.
Exactly. Inspiration. And I like that about it. Western games, though, throughout video game history, and there have been Western video games about as long as there have been video games. The first Western-themed video game I was able to track goes back to 1971. So that people have been making Western-themed games about as long as this medium has existed. And they have been largely influenced by cinema. They've been informed by that. So Rockstar is particularly cinematically oriented, and Western video games are particularly cinematically oriented, and now they meet in Red Dead Redemption. It's kind of a perfect storm.
No way.
So,
okay.
Yes way.
Awesome.
That's exactly. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
You're going to regret inviting me to this. I'm so sorry.
No! If this ends up just me babbling, I'm not funny nor quippy nor even particularly well-informed, so I really need y'all.
You know you're lying about that last one. Yes. Tell this man he's a liar.
Liar. You're wonderful.
Yes, placate my ego. You have fallen into my trap.
The real key is just to get it on tape. That was the whole point.
So factors influencing Red Dead's design. Christine, of all of us here, you are maybe the person that spent, I don't know, you and John would probably have to fight out who spent the most time in the original Red Dead Redemption.
Mm. A lot, but...
I 100% at the game.
I did not.
Okay.
So win.
You win. Excellent.
Shame on me. I'm the guide writer here. Like, boo me.
I don't know why I did it, but I was just I would like more to do. And it's one of the things to do is kill a bear with a knife. And I was like, all right, let's go.
I could not do that. No, I chickened out every time.
It was scary, but I think the worst part was that the turning radius is so bad. So you're just doing weird half circles around this bear.
Yeah.
You're like, and then you just like.
It was really the precursor to Dark Souls.
Yes.
Yeah. There it is.
That's
basically but without
what
the
I'm
ability
saying.
To roll out of the way.
Yeah, there's no dodge.
Actually, there is a roll. There is a roll.
I don't know if you can roll with the knife. I don't think you can.
I was basically just doing very large parrying circles around him.
Yeah,
around him, definitely.
And then
but you took that bear down.
I did.
Yeah, right?
Huh. Can you do this in real life?
No. I think I would die.
Thank you. Last
summer, I was staying in a cabin on the Tennessee border, and I came around a corner, and there was a bear.
Hey man, what's up?
The bear was very chill. He was like, it's exactly what it was like. Hey man, what's up? He was about 8 feet away.
Oh shit.
And
do you know what kind of bear it was?
A big black bear.
Okay.
The animal bear.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, black bears are the little bears, so this bear was only probably 500 pounds.
Of course, yeah. Super
I'm sure I'm exaggerating. Bear. He was a very, perhaps he, but he was very chill. He's like,
I mean, if you
what's
see
up?
A bear in real life, like that's one of those like things where you're like, oh my god, they could kill me instantly.
What if he was like, hey baboo? Let's go get us some picnic baskets. Would you be like, what? How much drugs did I take last night?
So many.
Actually, what he did was walk up the hill and climb in the back of a pickup truck and refuse to get out.
He did?
How do you get a bear out of the back of a pickup truck that doesn't want to move?
That's crazy. Yeah.
I think you're like, that's yours now.
Right. This is Bearcast, ladies and gentlemen. So, but influenced by cinema, open world design, because open world games are very different to make than other kinds of games. Technology, when I say technology, the fact is that we live in a technology-oriented industry here in video games, and gradually everything's building on what came before, kind of Ian Malcolm, they didn't even stop to know what they should or would or whatever. You know, it builds on top of each other and et cetera. And
that was the best impression I've ever heard in my life.
The best or the worst?
The best.
I think it was the worst.
That's your judgment.
I'm making a line about the melty stick. Oh, what
did
am
you
I
turn
doing?
Your mic off?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
No, I did not turn.
I was putting little red lights on. Oh man.
Stand by for the intermission.
We have a problem.
Technology sucks sometimes.
I think you were gonna break your mic.
Hard.
All right.
Yeah, she's gonna snap it off.
Does that work, Henry?
Well, cool. That doesn't affect the recording too bad. Thank you. Okay, in addition, budget, kind of a factor. Nice thing about Rockstar, they can take time to make a game. They do take time to make a game.
Yes.
They choose to make time to make a game, and guess what? Their games are good, and people buy them, so they keep taking time to make games. Yeah. What do you know?
And sometimes they don't bring them to PC.
No.
They're like, LOL.
I mean,
what
eventually.
Is Master Race? We don't know.
Are you a PC person?
I'm an all things person. I have a PC, an Xbox, a PlayStation, and a
Gizmondo.
Switch. What?
Gizmondo?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's what I play everything on.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's an amazing device. We'll talk about Gizmondo on another podcast.
Okay.
Imagination, new ideas, original ideas. And then, of course, the state of the art. And what I mean by that is the influence of other games. Technically, design-wise, people do look at other games.
You're back.
Before.
You got two mics. Look at you.
Okay, wow. Could From anyone hear me space. That entire time?
Yes, you can project.
The good news is...
You are a projecting
you're good.
Person.
Yeah,
you're carries.
Projectile vomit. All right.
No.
Only Sorry. Projectile word vomit.
I'm trying to avoid getting the PAX pox. Come on.
And finally, the question of what's fun. Yeah. Britt, what's fun about Red Dead Redemption?
For me, I think, because confession time, I cannot finish a Grand Theft Auto game, and I think it's because it's the city setting. I don't have that sense of being lost in a fantasy world, and being in a Western game like that, I feel like I could do anything and it's fun. Yeah.
But Brittany, there are trees in the Western games. You
God
don't like trees
it, Simon.
Either.
So, okay, the ladies always give me crap because I always say Horizon Zero Dawn, beautiful game, too many trees. I live in Washington. I don't want to see trees. So I have to be immersed in the setting. And with Red Dead Redemption, it's that Western setting that I feel like I haven't seen enough in video games.
Why do you have to bring your anti-ent propaganda here? That's what I don't understand this. Yes.
What?
No, it's fine. It's
never
it's
mind.
Fine. No, it's a
that
Lord
went
of Rings
right
thing.
Over.
Read a book, people.
Lord
no.
Of Rings.
You know I don't know how.
What
to read.
Is happening?
I know. I'm telling you.
They're tree people.
He's saying you're prejudiced
against tree people.
I didn't even go like Hjorns, not like second tier. I was like surface level Peter Jackson.
When you're saying ant, I'm thinking
different
the fucking
the little critters, yeah. I currently have an ant problem in my garage, and that's
and
where my mind
like,
went.
I don't know. Ants are like fine, I guess, but
whatever,
they bother
fine.
You.
Yeah, they're a lot worse than the East
food.
Coast, I feel.
I'm
we
so
talked
sorry,
about ants, ants, trees, bears. Have we talked about Red Dead? Good Lord.
I mean, a little bit, kind of, maybe.
Just don't ask us questions.
We've said it a bunch.
All right, so let's take a look for it. What we're going to do here for a little while is look at a few of the games. There have been a lot of Western games. We're going to look at a few that may have influenced the design approach of Red Dead. Things that took that movie background we talked about earlier and tried to translate it to video game format, sometimes with less success than others. We're starting here with the appropriately named Gun.Smoke. Or
is that
Gunsmoke.
How you say it? Because I've been wondering all week.
No, you say Gunsmoke.
Okay.
Huh.
So
I've
Jeremy
said Gun.Smoke to like 15 people.
Video game writer Jeremy Parrish, dude who's way smarter than I did, pointed out that, or way smarter than I am, pointed out that Gunsmoke, an old Capcom game, actually has a lot of factors that ended up making it into Capcom / Rockstar's Red Dead Revolver. Remember that Revolver was a failed Capcom project that Rockstar took over, fixed, and made a really
good
game. So
I learned that during the research for this, and that blew me away. I had zero idea. Like, did you guys know that?
No, I didn't.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Yeah,
that's like super
the more you know.
Weird. Like, the fact that Capcom is just like has this great idea, this cool notion, and they're like, nah, but then Rockstar's just like, you know what?
We liked it.
I could use another $1 billion franchise. Let me have it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure Capcom's, I mean, they're doing fine now. They got some good stuff going on. But, they got that Resident Evil 2, they got that Devil May Cry 5, they got that Mega Man 11.
Yeah.
They're doing fine.
They got some good stuff
Monster
going
Hunter,
on.
Monster Hunter, they're good.
Oh, Monster
right.
Hunter.
Monster Hunter single-handedly is just like, we're fine. We don't ever need to work again.
But way back in the day on the NES, they created this kind of weird little shooter. Hey, look, a wanted poster in a video game. What do you know? We're going to see that a lot. Wanted posters?
No.
Bounty hunting? Again.
Making entire levels based off one piece of parchment?
Exactly. And here we have the exciting action of Gunsmoke, where you walk down the street shooting lots of dudes.
I was like, those look like little ping pong balls.
So
right.
What does this have to do with Red Dead Revolver and Red Dead Redemption? Well, what Jeremy points out, and I think he's right, is that Capcom kind of has this weird tradition where they would take old ideas and then translate them into new things. For example, with Resident Evil, where they took this NES survival horror game that they'd made and then ended up creating Resident Evil out of that. You played this, right, Brett? You're grinning from your ear.
I just love Resident Evil. Anything about Resident Evil.
Anything about Resident Evil. Okay.
He said the thing.
Yep. Have you ever played Resident Evil's like kind of NES Famicom predecessor before?
I have not.
Yep.
You laid a lot. You spent a lot of time laying like pieces of wood on the ground in the middle of all this.
It sounds nothing like Red Dead.
Yeah, it's very strange. But it still has. It has like the door opening effect. It's got a lot of the survival horror stuff. Yeah, it's a really
That's
neat
cool.
game.
What does the wood on the floor do? I'm curious.
Get you across pits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, get you across pits.
I was like, gonna let it slide.
Of course.
No, man. I need to know. Like, if you're just like putting planks on
I
the ground.
I just put
like...
wood on the floor all the time. You just leave it there.
But
well,
Gunsmoke, as you can see on the screen right now, hey, look, a store. You're upgrading your weapons. You're gathering bounties.
Who
you're collecting
would sell
money.
You a gun when you are just mowing down the
when
entire town?
You literally are killing an entire town's worth of people.
What the shopkeeper just gives zero fucks. She's like, you're giving me money? Sure.
Well, it's like, I think the idea is like the whole town is just populated by outlaws, but like, what fucking shopkeeper stays in that town?
Yeah. Hey, business is booming.
Yeah, business.
I guess, yeah. I mean,
capitalism.
Exactly.
There it is. It's capitalist propaganda is what this game is.
Wow.
So even in this weird little shooter, we have wanted posters and rewards. We have an economy. We have weapon upgrades based on historic Old West style weapons. Also a machine gun for some reason.
Why not?
We have horses that you get to eventually.
Where
have
the
final
horses?
Boss battles.
Show me the horses. Did you capture
the horses? Come along. I don't know if we're going to get to the horses.
Oh, horse. You can buy one.
Oh, wait.
There is.
Look at this horse. Look at that timing.
You better have $20,000 for that
horse. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But you're a bounty hunter, so
that's
you got
literally
it.
Like millions of dollars.
All of these things eventually make their way into Red Dead Revolver. Now, is that a direct connection to Capcom? Look to its past. Nobody can prove that one or the other, but I think Jeremy raises an interesting point. We're going to look at a few other games here. Let's jump back in time to ye olde 1975. So the game we're seeing here right now is not the 1975 copy of Western Gun. This is actually Gunfight, an Atari 2600 remake from 2001. It's a really good game. It contains the only Atari 2600 unlicensed version of Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire I've ever heard in a video game.
Did you capture it, and can we play it here?
I did capture it. We can't play it here because I muted this in the presentation because I'm dumb.
No. You're not dumb.
No.
Also, because an Atari, also
you're
an Atari
smart.
Playing through a speaker goes...
That was a great impression.
Yeah, thank you.
Really
can
good.
You just do that with like the whole song?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh God. All right. Love I'm so sorry to all of you.
It also has Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a couple other songs.
They just ripped off the entire soundtrack.
It's great. It's
cool.
Really
like, this is legal. This is fine.
Oh, but yeah. Okay. It was the 70s. It didn't, well, I guess it was the early 2000s.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But we look at this game, and we got two guys shooting at each other, wagon running between them here. The main reason I brought this in is because 1975's Gunfight, as near as most folks can tell, is the first video game to feature person-versus-person combat.
Mm. Interesting.
And that, at least according to Wikipedia, my exhaustive research.
And Wikipedia doesn't lie.
Huh?
Right.
So Wikipedia doesn't lie. But
yeah, but I can't find an earlier example. If it exists, I haven't seen it. When I say person-to-person, I mean action-based person-to-person combat. There's some stuff on like some of the old D&D mainframe computer stuff that arguably could fall into that. But I love this because the first hit shoots the guy's hat off, and the second hit kills him. That's how you have two hit points in the game. The first one's you knock.
Exactly like Red Dead. That's exactly how it
I
works.
I love that, yeah. And this is a 2001 take on an earlier game. So
what was the other one that was essentially this, but without the cool wagon mechanic?
Outlaw, which is an
the
Atari,
original one?
Yeah, Outlaw, exactly.
Was this chicken or egg on that?
This is the egg. This came later.
Okay.
First came Gunfight, the arcade game. Then came Outlaw, a bunch of other derivatives. People like, if you look at the first few years of video game history, it's a lot of breakout clones, a lot of Pong clones, tank clones. People just made the same game over and over and over.
I like Outlaw because, like, when you shoot A, you get a really fun, like, wah, wah. Like, wait, is that the one that plays every time you get shot?
Oh, yeah.
And then you also, instead of falling over, you just kind of, like, sit. It's just like, bleh. You just sit down on the ground, and then you get back up, and you start again.
But
it's
you,
the best
you,
jank.
I guess so my question for you ladies is, have you ever played anything, like, this weird old? Did you ever have any of this laying around the house?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
I mean, you're not as old as I am, obviously, and that's some of it. I actually played games like this. We considered this entertainment, but...
These were the devil in our house.
These were the devil in your house?
Yeah, any game in which people got killed, old fair. Mama Ryan was super not about.
This game is too violent,
yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No.
It's a realistic depiction
of violence.
Yeah.
Accurate.
No, my first console was a Super Nintendo, and then I went back to an NES, but that was as early as I went.
Okay, so this is the earliest deathmatch. What do you think? Does this hold up to Halo 5?
Totally.
Yeah.
100%.
Actually, to Halo 5,
this
probably does
Quake.
Hold up. Definitely. And then, of course, I mentioned the 1971 game. Oh, yes. So,
yay, Oregon Trail.
There was a yay here. Okay.
Well, yeah, of course. It's the
Yes! I did that.
Good. So it's the saving grace of like all fourth and fifth grade computer classes.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Every single every. Class or computer in a classroom in the mid-90s had this game.
We got a cowboy in here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Oh, hello.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy. Yeah. That's freaking rad.
This man committed far more than any of us.
Yeah.
So Steinberg, you're like, yeah, Oregon Trail. We said, why were you excited?
I mean, the same reason as most people who grew up in my era was because, yeah, you get to go to computer class and that's the game you got to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Mario teachers typing followed by the Oregon Trail for 7 hours.
Oregon?
Did you say Oregon?
I'm sorry, Oregon.
No, yeah. I'm just curious. I'm not judging you.
I'm from Massachusetts. We say words weird.
Something I love doing in the Oregon Trail was,
wow!
You know,
wow.
And we just met for the first time. He loves me so much already. Whenever something would happen in the game,
Shame
you know, there's
for lounging, not throwing.
There's that little text log where it, you know, has everything that happened in that game, and you can actually type in that. And so what my friend and I would do is we were big nerds, still are. So we made all the characters based off Dragon Ball Z and Final Fantasy IX characters.
Oh, rad!
And we would LARP in that text box. So like if someone would die, we would like write out a funeral scene or something like that. That's all we
Hell
did.
Hell yes.
I love that.
It was so much fun.
This is the happiest I've been in several days. Yeah. Here in that store. How many of y'all played it? I'm curious.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I would hope every hand in this room would go up. And if your hand is down, please do yourself a favor and go play the Oregon Trail.
I've been plugging
Timmy
away to
drown. We just saw that it was like all
you can die of dysentery.
Well, that's
amazing.
Okay,
I mean,
so
well, I don't know that dysentery is amazing, but
dysentery, cholera, drowning. You can die a lot of different ways. And this is what I love about this game. Even more. Okay, so taking a second to it's a resource management simulator. It's largely about taking care of your party, making sure you keep everybody alive, balancing the necessities of life, dealing with random things. It is in a weird way, while it's linear, very open world-ish because you never quite know what's going to jump up. But even more so, I am of the opinion, and I keep plugging away at a book to this effect. Please buy it when I'm done. That the Oregon Trail is the most subversive video game ever made. This is a game about taking a room full of children in a school, and this game was designed with education in mind by MECC, and giving them, knowing they'd have one computer in their classroom, giving them the opportunity to put the names of their best friends in, to put the names of their teacher in, to make the, put the names of people they hated in their classroom
Or Dragon
in.
Ball Z and Final Fantasy IX characters.
Or right. Dragon Ball Z and Final Fantasy. Sit around a computer and then figure out the best ways to kill them, murder them, torture them, maim them, waste time hunting, gun down endangered species to their heart's content, and not carry the meat back to camp, but just let it sit there and rot. And then finally leave as many profanities as possible on their tombstone when they died, so that children, and these were saved on the disc, so that 3 years later, you're under budget school, the same kids are playing on the same Apple II or the same IBM, they come along, and the first thing they find is, here lies your mom.
No, mom!
You know, that's what this game was built to do. And that is...
Well, I don't know if that's what it was built to do.
I do.
As intended.
Why would you give that to children?
Because you believe that the world is a better place.
You know, I have to say, I actually tried to win that game.
When I was younger, I was definitely not like, let's see how I can kill you all. It was more of like, let's try and get there together.
It was always
and then they would die on the way, and you'd be like, ha!
Yeah. It was always who could get
Child
to that part
cursing,
where you have
whatever
to, like,
I said then. I don't know what I said.
Float your wagon down the river and avoid all the rocks. That was always the. Or that Oregon,
trying to ford the river.
Oregon Trail 2?
That's Oregon Trail. Oh, there's so many of these. When I said the first game I was able to find that was Western was 1971, Oregon Trail has had so many versions, all of which are distinct from one another. The version you're seeing here is the 1990 version, which is a port of the 85 Apple version. But 1971 is the first Oregon Trail. It was so old that you played it without a monitor. You played it on a teletype. And you just it told you
was
what was happening,
text-based.
And you typed in commands.
That's awesome.
That's
but it's the same lineage. It's the same game making its way through all those versions.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They're still making versions of the Oregon Trail.
Yeah?
Freaking rad.
I wonder if there's romance in now, though.
So
I'm sure there has to be.
I do. Oh, romance? There should be. Who, can I romance a buffalo?
What?
Can you? Yes.
You know
should
what?
You?
No.
No.
Probably not.
No, you probably shouldn't.
I don't know. So you guys played to win.
Yeah. I never won, but I tried.
Right, I played to survive.
It's the game that you can't win.
Right.
Yeah. What are y'all talking about? I carpenter all over this. I don't know what y'all talking about.
I mean, now when you're older, it's a little easier. But like when you're a kid, you're like, how do I do anything?
Why
and
are people dying?
Everyone dies, and you're like,
Goku,
no.
My oxen keep drowning. It was super depressing.
Like, I kept getting gunshot wounds when I would go hunting. I was like, what am I doing?
How
am I doing
this? How'd you shoot yourself?
You know what was so... Yeah, exactly. Point it the other way. Point it at the animal.
You know what was so satisfying? The sound of the animal hitting the floor after you shot it. That sounds terrible, but the sound it made, it was like, I don't know, I was addicted to it. It was like, doink.
Yeah, it's that, like...
So what I do love about this game in particular is related to Red Dead, though. So everything we're talking about here, but it was fundamentally, even though it's a historical game, it's actually really an economic simulator at heart. It's about dealing with unexpected situations in creative ways. It's about resource management. It's about hunting. It's about survival. And for me, at least, it was a murder simulator. and about creating your own fun, about emergent gameplay. And these are all things that feed into Red Dead. So when I talk about the state of the art, here's a 1985 example of something that's still fun today in a very different way.
Well, yeah. So what's interesting about the hunting part is, like, Red Dead Redemption is much more like this. Well, you can just run around and kill everything, right? And then you just, like, use your knife and skin it on the ground.
Yeah.
And now it looks like in Red Dead 2, or Red Dead Redemption 2, it's different. Like, you have to carry the thing back to camp.
Oh, it's brutal.
So, like,
hunting
now it's going to be
brutal.
Way...
But you brought up a good question earlier.
I did bring up... So I was like, okay, in all of the things that they've shown us so far, he's picking up the animal, he's, like, putting it on the back of the horse. So does this mean, like, you're not killing buffalo anymore? Like, you can't lift that?
So it sounds to me like the... So when we saw it back in spring, like, we kind of raised that question where it's like, you can carry a deer because Arthur's... super strong, I guess, because he can just deadlift one with one hand, which is horrifying.
You're not deadlifting a deer.
He does it.
No, that's not the right move.
Oh, yeah.
No. Would you like to see me do a deadlift move? It's
Yes, honestly, I really, truly would. But no, can we get a deer carcass, though? Okay. There it is.
Thanks for coming to the panel, ladies and gentlemen.
So here's the thing. The last time I went to a gym was... 1999, maybe 2003.
This week on Red Dead Radio, Steimer does squats.
So he can squat a deer up onto his shoulder, carry it back.
Okay.
But for bigger animals, it sounds like you're essentially going to have to break that down to sort of its core component parts. So it's like with, say, a buffalo or a bear, you have to skin it, and then maybe you can take some of the meat in a satchel, but realistically, you're just going to have that big fucking bear pelt strapped to the back of a horse, and then the rest of it's just kind of going to sit there in the sun and rot for a while.
Just like in the Oregon Trail. Mm-hmm. Oregon Trail.
That's true. You got to leave the rest. All right, we got to move on to the next ones here. We're going to fly through these a little quicker because I'm terrible at time management.
It's fine.
Here we go. Sunset Riders. Who played this? I'm curious. Anybody out there play? Yeah. Quite a few. Okay. The version you're seeing here is actually the Sega Genesis version, but the arcade version was a four-player shooter beat-em-up style. Like, you've got a team of four people. The standouts for this, a few of the Western conventions kind of make their way in. You jump on the back of a train. You're traveling through old Western vistas. You're running atop cows. Once again, you're hunting bounties, gathering gold. You also occasionally hop into a brothel for a power-up.
Nice.
That
nice.
Happens a lot. But there's some standout stuff. And yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the power up that he
what
just
did
picked
just
up?
Say?
He got faster shotgun shooting.
Oh.
That's an innuendo.
It's a little on the nose, but all
that
right.
That was, yep. Yeah, but there are a few.
Look at this pink horse.
Yeah, that horse is awesome. It's a good looking
beautiful.
Game. It's a good. Yeah, well, I mean, why not?
They're trying to bribe you to not murder
them.
They're
like, please go away.
Yeah.
But a few standouts for this game, not all of which made it into this video. One, like I said, the arcade version 4-player, the Genesis version 2-player. It's one of the early examples of a multiplayer Western game.
Mm-hmm.
And people figuring out that what's more fun than cowboys? Lots of cowboys. Teams of cowboys.
Cowboying together.
Or cowboying, cowgirling, cowpeopling together.
Cowfolk
which, of course, is Red Dead Online.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the first, or Red Dead, I keep saying the first Red Dead, but it's like, no, it's technically the second.
Just, you know,
Red
we're
Dead Redemption's online multiplayer. I mean, the way that sort of gave us, I mean, that was sort of the precursor to what we see today in GTA Online, where it's like you have this big open hub world, and like the idea of it is that you just kind of dive in either solo or with your friends and just start interacting with people. And you know, looking at it here, like when you see the ability to jump in with up to three, usually just one other person. I think there's a lot less fucking around that you can do in this case. I'm sorry, futzing around.
No, profanity's okay.
Okay, great, cool. There's a lot less, like, sabotage of either your teammates or your potential enemies. But it's just like, I don't know, it's that notion of, like, just seeing it in action beforehand and the end, ..
Couple
I had thoughts, oh, and then they just, no, I had a thought, and then it disappeared.
That happens.
And then I tried
sometimes
to save it, and it's just gone.
How boring are we at this point? Time. We doing okay? Okay. The front's excited, the back's looking more vacant, so I'm a little worried.
We love you guys in the back.
Yeah. A couple other standouts for this. Right here, the selection screen you're seeing. This is one of the first Western games where you can play as a non-white person. Which
Hell
is
yeah.
Imagine that. There were non-white people in the West. Who knew?
Yeah.
There were even some ladies there, I heard, occasionally.
In the brothel.
No, yeah, we just
huddled in the brothel like this. We never saw the sunlight.
What is this? No, no. What is this?
You turn into a hermit when you're in a brothel for your entire life?
Like a mole person of some kind.
But one of the things I like about Red Dead is that you do see a vast variety of different human beings in the game. And Red Dead 2 looks like it's leaning even more into that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. Because the West was full. If you ever read Son of the Morning Star, just some really diverse characters in that part of the world. The frontier attracted people from every walk of life, particularly people who kind of couldn't make it out east. And that led to some colorful characters just about every ilk. If you haven't read Son of the Morning Star, I really recommend it. We'd be remiss not to mention that in addition to having our one of the early non-white protagonists, Sunset Riders, ridiculously, sadly racist around level 3 or so. So we'll just leave that behind. That didn't make it into the
game. Oh, yeah, I can.
No. Wait, it's when we meet the Indians. When we reach the Native Americans,
usually,
it gets a little
that's
bad.
That's usually going to go pretty,
so we'll move ahead.
In most games before now.
Outlaws by LucasArts, 1997.
Woo!
Okay, John's excited about this.
I love this game.
Expound.
First off, I mean, it's sort of, you could look at it and say that it's a Wolfenstein or a Doom clone, and it is.
Yeah.
Like, no bones about it,
and
it 100%
right.
is. But they also do some really fun stuff, like the cutscenes in it are those super weird. Who here's played LucasArts' Outlaws? Anybody? Yeah, cool. All right, all three
people.
Of you, great. The cutscenes in that, if you guys have played it, know, like, if you've ever seen, like, the heavy metal movies, where they're just these weird vignettes with this crazy sort of frame-by-frame art style, I just really adore the art style. And the fact that this is one of the few video games that I can think of that actually has an opening credit sequence for the developers. Like, it is a fully scored sequence, like just like Once Upon a Time in the West or all of the Man with No Name trilogies, like they really went for it. For the cinematic feel, exactly. And like, you know, there's the really horrible inciting incident, which, you know, we'll talk about women in fridges later, but it's the first time that I can remember seeing a Western in a non-TV or movie medium and following it from a story perspective and getting invested, which I think is what Red Dead does best.
The riverboat train sequence at the opening of Red Dead comes to mind immediately. When the way they choose to engage the credits there is storytelling. It's when it comes to Red Dead's cinematic treatment. I mean the moments that pop up for me, Steimer, Brett, I always think about that opening, coming in on the steamboat, riding the train, overhearing the conversations, credits rolling, headed up to the fort, and I think about Mexico, of course, which I think everybody does, and then the end or the almost end, the penultimate scene. Of all those, which one stood out for you the most and why?
For me, it was the ending. Can I spoil this game?
Yes.
Has anybody not played the first Red Dead Redemption?
No, don't ask them. Yeah, well, then we'll have an excuse.
Plug your ears.
Yeah, just do. Somebody clap his ears.
I had never experienced character death like that in a video game before, and I was so attached to John Marston as a character. Yeah. I felt he was trying to redeem himself. And he was cute in his own weird, gross way. And I was like, you know,
in his unwashed
endearing.
Way.
And
it's okay. No, it's
to
true.
See
yes.
that ending go down the way it did, I think that was the first video game that made me truly, like, bawl. I'm talking, like, mascara.
Like,
was
straight
running.
Ugly cry?
Oh, ugly cry. And
oh,
then
man.
The game that I can't talk. The next game that did that was Final Fantasy XV, and that was just a whole mess in itself, but we won't go there. Anyway, so for me, that ending just stood out. I remember it so distinctly. I was in my room. I was living with my parents at the time. Lights were off. I had a bag of popcorn next to me, and I was like, they're not doing this, are they? And they did, and it was just so crazy. And then
I
accidentally
remember,
spoiled it for
did
someone.
Did you think that you could win it? Because I thought I could I was like, sure, they're surrounding the barn, but like, it's fine. And like, I have Deadeye, so it'll be okay. And then
when you realize
okay.
you can, but you're so desperately trying still, it's just like,
I'm like, no, maybe I just need to reload. Maybe I messed it up.
Just like reload that save like 4 or 5 times. Yeah, you're like, and you can't
do it. I keep screwing
it
up.
John just has a rough time. The crows eat all his corn, and then he gets gunned down. It's really bad.
It's not a great life.
It's not a great life. No. That was one of those, I really do love Western movies, and I was kind of raised on them from infancy. And so I saw the end of Red Dead coming a mile and a half
really?
Away. I was like, this guy is so dead. I like him way too much.
Mm, and, that's true.
And that the way it went down, like having, you know, it's just the end of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And it's done so well. And that's what, I don't know where the line between derivative and homage happens exactly, but Rockstar's really good at that, at finding that line and staying on the homage side, where it feels original and fresh.
Yeah, especially in Red Dead itself, where you have moments that are just ripped straight out of some of the best Westerns, like the Gatling gun bit that we talked about in Fort Mercer.
Yeah.
Is straight from
Outlaw Josie Wales.
And it's just like, it doesn't feel like that situation where you're mad at them for ripping something off. Like, you're just like, if you recognize it. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh shit, this is an awesome gameplay moment. But also, like, if you do recognize the source, you're like, hell yeah.
Also, just a quick note on Outlaws, not a lot of attempts at first-person Western games. Mm. I don't know, you know, obviously they're building this around Dark Forces around the same time, their Star Wars Doom game. I don't know if the people have just decided it's not well-suited for that, if third-person's better for the storytelling, if it has to do with reload times, because reloading old guns is weird.
Yeah.
But nobody's really gone too deep back into this since then. I mean, there was a weird, like, I think History Channel shooter.
Well, there's like the Call of Juarez franchise tried it. There were a couple of, wasn't there a John Carpenter's game that was a Western?
Actually, I haven't played that. I don't know.
It was like you hunted vampires and they were cowboys or cowpokes. And
are you sure you're not just making, is this a dream you had?
No, I might be confusing.
Victor Brand, he was
I think I'm thinking of Clive Barker's Undying.
Okay.
I think that's the game that I'm thinking of. I forget whether that was first person or not, though. But I mean, Club Wars was interesting enough, but I feel like part of the Western experience is seeing your protagonist, you know, draw out their holster instead of just having a gun kind of pop up in your viewfinder. Like seeing you draw, seeing you slam the hammer back.
Mm-hmm. Fan the hammer, my friend.
There it is. Thank you. I'm just, my terminology is just all.
You know what? I'll take it. I don't know how to do anything. We're moving on to Gun. We got Gun.
We got Gun?
We got Gun. That's right. Who played Gun? When I ask people about Western video games, Gun's the one I hear about most. I think the entire world bought Gun. You bought Gun.
I did buy Gun. I bought Gun twice when it first came out and again like a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
How'd that second time around go for you?
It didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
It didn't happen.
Because shamefully I ran out of time because I was going to try and play it on my way to Gamescom and then I couldn't get it hooked up on the PC. It was this whole thing.
So. Either Buffalo.
What's that?
I
was looking at the buffalo.
She got distracted by the animals.
Look.
Oh, I can't wait to murder them all.
Animals are good for that. Well, animals are a big part of the West. I mean, animals are a big part of Red Dead. What did they feature in the very first Red Dead trailer? It's like, here's an animal, and here's an animal, and here's a little squirrel underneath the background. And
there you go.
Why is that important to the storytelling?
Well, I mean, if there are no animals in it, you're like, this is a weird place.
What happened here?
It's like one of those dreams where it's like sort of real, but not all, like there's something off the whole time and you're not sure what it is.
Well, also, it is the Wild West, right? And so, you know, you don't have
Have the wild part.
Yeah, you don't have the wild part. These days you don't have buffalo roaming down the streets of Seattle, you know, but back it was uncharted territory. And so I really think it's important for setting the mood of the
It creates a feeling that feels, a place that feels wild, that feels unexplored.
Cougar's going to come and get you.
Oh, man, this guy's really getting messed up.
Are we keeping our fingers crossed for a cougar cabin again in this one, where they just infinitely spawn forever?
It's like forever and ever.
I just want to fill a house with cougars,
that's
please
nightmare
and thank
material.
You.
I want a cougar catapult.
So it looks like Gun was the first super story-driven Western-ish game, because the ones that we've seen so far have been kind of side-scrollers, shoot-ems, beat-em-ups. This is kind of like the first super... I didn't play Gun.
It's definitely an early one. When we say story-driven, like, in-game cinematic moments, along with, actually, the year before, Red Dead Revolver.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
we're going to talk about in a second.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Dante's Peak to the original Red Dead Revolver's Armageddon.
Okay.
Like, I mean, that's
you consider that a favorite... Does an old grandma die in a lake full of acid?
Don't remind me about that. And no.
Okay. Dante's Peak. If you haven't watched that in a while, wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Deep Impact. Yeah. That was the one I was thinking
of. Well, I was going to say Dante's Peak, Armageddon, Volcano. Yeah, I was a
Dante's Peak, Volcano, Deep Impact, Armageddon. You know what I was trying to say.
But yeah, Gun's a game where you're wandering around the West with, and at the beginning it's you and like angry Chris Christopherson and you're shooting birds.
Was that him in that?
I don't know. He looks just like him.
I feel like he would do that for the money.
And then finally, of course, Red Dead Revolver. Rockstar's a really impressive Western game that started as a Capcom project, as we talked about at the beginning. And really does lay, you've got a lot of the Red Dead formula there. You have cover systems. You have Deadeye. You have an arsenal of weapons that grows with you. That you've got the rifle on the back and the pistol on the side and the knife in the belt, and you're switching between them. A lot of these aspects of the game are already coming into focus. You've got some multiplayer focus there, although it's local. It's an interesting thesis, and you can see how it read into a much more refined Red Dead Redemption when they were able to take over the project from the beginning on their own and make it truly a Rockstar game with more of an open world focus. Did you guys play this back in the day?
I couldn't get into it, which is so crazy, because then when I played Red Dead Redemption, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever, but for some reason.
Well, Revolver doesn't have that open feel to it. Revolver just isn't as immersive. It's all the themes, but they're not quite as articulately expressed.
I mean, it was back in the day when, you know, we were a lot more limited in the scope of the experience that we could have by just the technology that was available. Like, it was that situation, like, you know, they can make it look, for the day, as good as this does, or they could probably expand the world a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But not both. Yeah.
But not both.
Yeah, I'm running this one. I captured all my own footage for this. I'm running this one through a PS3 HDMI.
So yeah, I'm going to need to borrow the setup for this because I really want to play this again.
We're going to do it. We're going to do a Let's Play of that,
yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, no, not until we do Red Dead Online. You guys want to play Red Dead Online?
Yes.
Cool, great.
I got you.
We don't even need you anymore. Yeah.
Fine,
you're
off
the show.
I hate to spoil it for you, but Brittany is a liar and she'll never play with you.
Brittany.
Why would you listen to her? Because I know you. When have we ever played a game together?
Hey, listen, don't get me started, Simon. I tried to play Sea of Thieves with you that one time.
Well, that's your mistake. Did you?
Okay, question. Has there ever been a Western RPG?
There's West of Loathing recently, actually.
Oh my God, of course. I love that game so much. I'm talking like Final Fantasy-esque, but RPG.
I mean, there's
like old school.
Old school turn-based combo.
Wild Arms kind of feeds into that theme.
Oh, Wild Arms, yeah, that was a great one.
That kind of has that, especially that was...
Yeah.
I like that our little music machine today.
Right?
I always am, yeah.
Aww.
When I was young,
nope,
never needed anyone.
Right, that's our cue.
Cool. Great. We should probably.
So really quickly, we looked at all these themes. I have no idea if there's anything coherent happening here whatsoever at this point. I'm sure y'all are more aware than I am. We learn anything from this about what fed into Red Dead, or maybe more important, how Red Dead 2 could build on these themes of not an empty world, of third versus first person, of playing together, of character involvement, of role-playing elements. How's Red Dead going to build on that?
Oh, you do conveniently take that sip of water. I know exactly what you're doing right now.
It's going to be a very long drink, isn't it?
I know exactly what you're doing. So I've only played Red Dead once because I feel like that was my playthrough, and it was such an impactful game that, to be completely honest, all the ins and outs, the specifics of it, I can't pull out of my butt right now. But what I am very interested to see in the second one is how we can shape Arthur Morgan to be the person we want him to be. I don't want him to be an asshole off the bat. I want him to be a nice, fair man. And
a nice, fair outlaw.
A nice, fair outlaw.
Robin's got a code, damn it.
It's going to be great.
I only steal from who I want to steal from. That's my code.
But I feel like that kind of is the nice thing about what we, at least, you know, based on what we know, like, you will kind of have that option. Like, you know, depending on what your choices are, like, how you choose to interact with all of the, you know, the pedestrians and the NPCs, like, whether they're fellow gang members or lawmen or just, like, guys you meet on the road.
Just like bros.
Yeah, or just, like, random guys.
Gals.
You know.
Whoever.
Yeah, just folk. All them folk.
Yeah, I like that they've now expanded to give you more options, because before in original Redemption, like, basically to interact with other people, you're like, hello.
Right, like, it's literally just the binary option, like, I can kill you or I can not kill you.
Would you like to do what I tell you now? And now, you know, you can be a little bit less aggressive.
Yeah, and like, contextually, that informs the character when you do see the cutscene bits that, you know, Rockstar writes in themselves, where it's like, you know, if I play someone who every time I come across a rider on the road, if I rob them, like harass them or whatever, or if, you know, if you guys do the thing where you just like ride alongside them and be like, hey, how's it going, buddy? You want to like have a fun ride together? Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a very different Arthur in the next cutscene where you see him shaking somebody down for money.
Right.
I also like the idea that maybe the way you're impacting that world can come back to haunt you in good or bad ways, which seems to be a place they're leaning a little more into as well. And they really have kind of emphasized this world without seams. Everything here we're talking about in broken down, weird, mechanical, analytic format, I think the idea behind Red Dead 2 is that we're not going to notice as many of the stitches. That's the idea. See how that plays out. I'm pretty excited to see what happens. Because like we said before, Red Dead influenced by cinema, open world design, technology, budget, imagination, the state of the art that we just discussed, what's fun, which is always kind of the acid test, is it fun, is it not? And they have now the input from GTA 5, GTA Online's experience, and the original Red Dead all to build on as well. So I don't know who's going to play this game. I'm curious.
Yeah. I might.
Yeah, I might play it. Maybe. We just built this show around it, but actually none of us are ever going to. Yeah. We're going to skip ahead a little bit here because I'm terrible at time management. Luck of the Draw, one of our regular segments here on Red Dead Radio, where we answer one non-Red Dead-related question per week, one random. And we have somebody here in the audience right now, Tom Bach and Olivia. You guys, are you ready with your non-Red Dead-related question for us? Okay, you might head into the mic? All right. So Tom and Olivia, I caught in line and asked them, I don't know what they're going to ask us here. I just said, please make it embarrassing for...
Jared, this is a...
You
asked them to make it embarrassing?
Yes. So.
What the hell, man?
Yeah. So what do we got?
It'll be an easy one. First of all, I want to thank you guys for what you do every week. You guys entertain us.
Thank you.
Get us thinking about stuff, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you for listening.
Absolutely, absolutely. So two questions. Olivia, you want to do yours first?
If you were stranded on an island and could only play one game for the rest of your life, what game would it be?
Oh, boy.
All right.
Do I have internet connection on this island?
Yeah, that's the question.
Can I get updates for this game if they come out?
Yes.
Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2. Wow.
Interesting choice. I like it. Well done.
It's an MMO. It lives forever. I can play with other people, so I won't feel lonely on this island.
I like it.
Yeah.
Can I revive a game that's dead to
sure.
do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Asheron's Call. That would be my, rip in peace.
Is this just
you
a way to get Asheron's Call back?
I will. I know, I told you. I run hot when I'm hungover. I would love to play Asheron's Call. That game has so much content, and there's so much to do.
Would you rather, if it meant going and living on an island for the rest of your life, would you do it so Asheron's Call could come back?
I will make a sacrifice, I must, for the good of the people.
Good plan.
You're like living in this tropical paradise. You're like, oh, man.
As long as you can bring Rebel, your dog, right?
My dog. Yeah, I'll bring my dog. He'll be good.
John?
You know what? Honestly, there's too fucking many that are super, super good. Part of me wants to say, The Witcher, The Witcher 3, because, I can play that forever. But also, part of me wants to... No, not The Witcher 1. That's the... Oh, three.
He's at
three, for sure. Yeah. But at the same time, I kind of want to say GTA Online, because most of the friends that I play games with online also play that fairly regularly and can just be fucking stupid together.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to pass time, is just being a fucking idiot.
For me, it's easy. Sid Meier's Pirates, the 1991 port by Rare, published by Ultra Games for the Nintendo Entertainment System, which is the definitive version of the game.
Woo, woo!
Great.
Look at that pitch.
Yeah, love that one. What's number two, guys?
Okay, so this one's kind of silly. So I've never done any kind of cosplay before, but I'm always kind of fascinated by it. Jared, I know you recently did Doc Brown at Kind of Funny Prom, right?
I did.
Yeah, so my question is, have you ever cosplayed? And if so, what did you do it as? And if you haven't, and you could... What would you do?
Okay, we'll start at this end this time and work our way down here. I was Doc Brown recently. I've been Baymax before.
You did, yeah. It was a really great Baymax,
which is a lot of fun. John?
Do fourth grade book fairs count? Because I was definitely Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park that year.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I think if I had to go for Dream State, I'd probably say RoboCop, but mask off. RoboCop, so the full heads and circuits and wires and stuff, and maybe one of the arms off.
Oh, wow, the arm off, that would be amazing.
Or Terminator, or the Terminator, the T-800 at the end of T2, when he's all messed up by the T-1000, the arm and the chest and the face and stuff.
So you just want to be ripped apart.
Well, if you're going to do cosplay, you got to make it, exciting.
Is Is that, no. is that what it is?
That's finger guns for me. That's just like,
It's like a snap gun.
I was teaching English in Japan, and I walk in, and two of my high school kids are waiting one night for a class, and they just got these huge grins on their faces. I'm like, what are you two up to? And they're like, they put their fingers up, like, don't say a word. And they walk through this like half wall there, so that it's like 3 foot tall wall. One of them gets on the other side, the other one takes out their cell phone, hits a button, and starts playing da-da-da-da-da-da from T2. And the other one just starts to lower their body really slowly.
Good.
And then when they disappear behind the wall, go,
thumbs up.
And they both just sat down and didn't say a word.
That's
this
best.
Day, I don't know what that was about.
Because it was awesome and it was a heartfelt moment between friends.
It was beautiful.
There is few things on this planet I feel more powerful than that thumbs up at the end of that movie.
In Metal, if you play Metal Slug 3, I just noticed if you fall into lava in Metal Slug 3, your guy does this when you fall down. I've never seen it before. Brittany?
I was the Pink Power Ranger when I was a little girl.
Hell yes.
But one time I had a Link costume, and it was off of a website for Halloween, and I had the sword and shield with me, and I was trucking around downtown Seattle. I had so many people say, oh, it's Zelda! And I was like,
You were like,
If I could do anything, though, I'd want to do something, like, because Warrior is my main class in every RPG I ever play, so I want something with, like, badass armor and a sword that's way too big for me, and I want to go, like, kill shit.
Hell yes.
Not really, but, like, monsters. Yeah, okay, you can get it.
Monsters are good. So it wasn't technically cosplay, but it was the best costume I have ever worn, because it was for a live-action thing that we did for CD Projekt Red. So I borrowed the Yennefer costume one day and wore it. And I was like, how do I fit in this? That girl's really tiny. But I did, and I just like took pictures of it.
Yeah, you look so good in that. That was awesome.
It's my favorite.
She's
my favorite.
I think I've seen those pictures. That was rad. That was a great costume.
Nice. Yeah.
I love all of these. Hey, our friends at Rockstar and What's Good Games both sent some swag over. So this is for y'all. This is the
That super elusive mug.
Yeah, please, for you and Olivia. But these are some Red Dead stickers and the super elusive Red Dead Redemption 2 mug.
Woo!
Thank What's Good and Rockstar for those. And now it's time for QA. So if you've got questions for the panel about Red Dead or otherwise, go ahead and line up at these nearby mics, and we'll try to get to them in the next 8 minutes here. So
it'll be great.
Ask briefly, please. Yeah. We'll start on this side.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Cindy.
I have a question about like quick travel and things like that, because obviously in the first game, if you like shoot and then the quick travel guy just runs away, and you know this world's going to be bigger than like GTA 5 potentially, so how do you feel about like keeping that realistic aspect of, you know, this horse and carriage guy has to stay in town, but if I shoot him away, then my ride's gone.
Goodbye forever.
I love it. Like,
I don't even know how much I used fast travel, because I just really liked going around the world so much. I was like, come on, horse, let's go. But yeah, since this one's gonna be a lot bigger, I don't know how they're gonna handle it.
I was very guilty of just using the campfire fast travel system for me. Like, you know, I don't think I ever took the stagecoach anywhere.
No.
I would always just, you know, even if I was in a town and had to get across the map, I would just ride out of town and set up a campfire. I have no idea how it's going to work out in 2. I would love to see that kind of realism stay where, like, if you do start a fight or get in a gunfight, like, or even if you just, like, talk to him wrong, like, they'll just refuse to give you
what
a ride.
What if they just made it more expensive? your price is going up because you're an asshole.
$30 instead of 10.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question, and we've got something
Thanks
for you
Cindy.
From Rockstar as well. So
Woo!
Our friend sent this over. So please, come on.
We need to get
come
a cannon.
Come on up and get it. And we'll go on this side now.
My name is Quinn.
Hi, Quinn.
Talking about kind of like the cinematic influences that go kind of, and you kind of argue all Rockstar games, my question is like, most Westerns really build on tension, mm-hmm. and it's something I don't feel in a lot of games aside from like horror, and that's usually trying to build up to something that gets scary. Do you think, especially with this being a prequel and kind of knowing some of the outcomes, are they really going to focus on that, or if it's something I didn't really feel that tension in even the in Red Dead Redemption, but it seems this one's going very, very cinematic, and especially like their trailers and everything. Is that something you're looking for in a game like this, or?
I think that in an open world, tension's especially difficult because you can bend the rules. But I think the three places I suspect they'll lean in on this: one is consequence, which is always a very powerful part of tension. Two is weirdly lighting. They put a lot of effort into the lighting on this game. Uncanniness, and I'm stealing this from, I think, Jen Frank, is an essential element of anything scary. taking something familiar and changing it slightly so that it's frightening, and that can build tension. I think you can do a lot with that in a wild world with lighting. So you have consequence, things being dangerous, things having, you have lighting, and then third, music, environmentally controlled music in particular. I don't think we can expect a full horror experience here, but I do think we'll see it there. Thoughts, guys?
Yeah, the only tension I really want from this game is if I'm going to try to kill a bear with a knife, or if I can piss someone off to the point where they might not like me, because I try really hard to please everyone in video games, and so knowing that there might not be a necessarily right decision to make, and knowing you're going to have to live with those consequences, I think that's what I want.
Thank you. And again, from Rockstar, a little, they sent over a T-shirt for guests. So.
Oh, I like that design. That's a good one.
Yeah.
We're down to the last T-shirt here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, friend.
Hi, who are you?
My name is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Horse-related question.
Oh,
for you guys.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. This is now Horsecast 2018.
Yes. So in the video, it looked like there were different breeds of horses. Will there be different breeds of horses that you can purchase and ride? And if so, will they have varying stats such as strength, speed, and endurance?
I'm glad you asked this because we made this game.
Yeah.
Yep.
John, you actually talked to Horse Team, didn't you?
We did. We talked to the guys that made said horses. But I mean, also, if we looked at the special edition, collector's edition, whatever, bonus order things, like there are a couple of different horse breeds listed within that itself. You can definitely buy different breeds of horses in the sense of like you can get a basic like stallion for like a farm horse, you can buy like a workhorse, you can
like
buy
a Clydesdale.
A war horse, you can get a Clydesdale. We've seen Clydesdales. I don't know if you can own Clydesdales.
I think they looked more like they were just part of your camp. Like they'll be like a worker horse in your camp versus like something you're riding in the world.
We have to breed horses.
Make weird combos.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great?
I was like Viva Pinata, but with
if
horses.
I can just completely forsake the life of the outlaw and just become a horse,
rancher.
That'd be awesome.
If I beat my horse with a shovel, does it pop open and give me candy?
No.
This isn't Fortnite.
It dies.
Oh no! I had a few incidences of that.
I don't know how
game.
Horses work.
It wasn't a shovel.
Yeah.
They got shot in the head.
No.
They ran in front of the bullet. I don't know what they were expecting.
I mean, look, this my horse ran in front of a train, so it's like.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know why you just did that.
Some
I parked you back there.
That AI.
Yeah, that horse AI, though.
So that's the best we got for you.
Yeah, there are different breeds of horse, and they do have their own different like abilities and sort of stat
different
buffs.
Stamina. Okay.
I will promise you this, though. Next time I talk to Rockstar, I'll ask them the same question and try to get it out for you on the show.
Okay.
I do think it'd be fun to ride a Clydesdale around.
We know it for a fact.
Yeah,
there are these things.
Right, but I want to know the details.
I
want more granular details.
Dig in deep.
All right, real quick here, last question.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. So I spent way too much time gambling in the first Red Dead.
Me too.
Liar's Dice, specifically. Do you guys have any idea where they're going to go with that? Are they going to ramp it up, build out new games? What do you think?
We're purely speculating on this. Yeah. I have no inside info. I think we'll see everything we saw before, especially Liar's Dice and Hold'em, probably some more online around that. I want baseball leagues. I'm probably not going to get them, but I want them so badly.
That would be great. To
Every
see.
Town
just,
have
just
their own.
Not just to make you happy.
Yeah, it'd be great. I could see them going full in on that.
Were there slot machines back then?
I don't know anything about the history of slots.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't really do gambling.
I don't do the mini games for the most part. I think I did whatever I needed to do to 100% the game, but like other than that.
Yeah. We know you'll
plan on it, and next thing you know, I found myself.
I mean, that's how I was with
Liar's Dice.
Just like real gambling.
That's why I was with Gwent and The Witcher, where it's just like, oh, this weird little CCG in this game. That's fine. And then every town I go to, like, who is your Gwent champion?
I really do want a fully integrated series of baseball leagues. Every town has its own distinct field. There are teams in every town because historically, baseball had been established as a professional sport in America for decades by this point, by 1899. And so I love the idea that you could go to every town, play, gamble on the games, influence the games with missions, like get in there and screw things up. And I want, it's never going to happen, but I want an alternate ending where I play enough baseball that Arthur goes out east and plays in the World Series.
He just becomes
I don't
think we'll see anything.
Amazing.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I was just laughing at that concept.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we'll see any, like, I don't know if we'll get like huge revisions to any of the gambling stuff. We know that we saw in the last gameplay video that there's Hold'em in it. I think it's safe to bet that they'll probably expand a little bit on it. I personally will forever want
riverboats with casinos on them. I want my Maverick moment.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I desperately want to get on a casino boat, and then when I lose, because I will, because I'm fucking terrible at poker, just burn it down and sink the boat.
Yeah,
I want to sink the boat.
But you're on the boat.
I can swim now.
Oh, we got to cut it here because we are at end of time.
No!
I don't have a Rockstar thing to give you, but if you'd like the Sheraton pad.
Oh, man.
Very limited edition.
Here, no, I got you. I got you.
That pen belongs to.
No, I'm not giving him the pen.
Oh, okay. There we go.
He's like, no, this is my
friends,
pen.
Friends, thank here, you for you coming this. Here. Thank you for giving an hour of your life to this marvelous stupidity. Ladies from What's Good Games, thank you for giving an hour of your life, especially this post-drunk.
we had our community meetup party last night. It was a great time.
I'm fine. I don't know.
Thank you for that. John, as always, I don't know why you come on here every week, but I'm so glad you do.
I don't know why you keep inviting me back. I'm a terrible guest.
Yeah, we will not be able to hang out in the hall after the show because then it's to clear up. But if you go out to the lobby across over by the windows, if you want to say hi to folks, I'll be heading over there as soon as I get my laptop packed up, and I'll meet you out there. Thank you for this. Thank you, panel.
Thank you. You put together a wonderful presentation.
Applaud this man most of all.
Yes.
And thank you guys. Applaud yourselves, but also applaud this man.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.